Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And, yeah. You know, straight out of James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger.
Erin Smalley on Focus on the Family Minute about not reacting in your marriage, even when your spouse does something that really bugs you.
And with that open heart, recognizing we're teammates, we're on the same team, we can establish this dialogue and work towards repair together. And so humble ourselves, establish the dialogue, but then simply leaning in and caring about how is your spouse feeling? So often we go logic and we want to, you know, nope, that didn't happen, or it happened this way, or it didn't happen, versus just sitting and listening, like, what are they feeling? And being curious about what happened for them. What was that like for them?
More tips from Erin Smalley and her husband Greg on resolving marital conflict at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. I never dreamed that one day I'd follow a lead-in by the Beverly Hillbillies. But there you go. Thank you, Kevin. All right. Well, today we are going to take a quick look at release diaries, pandemic diaries, in fact, from Anthony Fauci, which were published by Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky ahead of the highly anticipated Senate grilling that may be the closest Anthony Fauci comes to accountability in the U.S. Senate. So I'll give you details if you want to watch that grilling, if you have nothing to do and want to sit around and watch a Senate hearing. They can be pretty obnoxious, but might be interesting. I think I might peek at it probably after the fact, but more to come from there. Also, we will speak to Greg Burt from the California Family Council. He's been on before, focusing on the bills that are about to become law as our Sacramento legislature barrels towards the end of their session. It really bothers me that California has a full-time legislature. I feel that many of the root causes of our problems come from the fact I think we're the only state with a full-time legislature. Maybe New York has one. But pretty much all legislatures are part-time. I've covered other states, and when they're not in session, they're not causing trouble. But we have full-time living in the bubble legislatures, and that is an issue. That makes me think I went traveled to the Mississippi Delta to do a story when I was living in Washington. And one of the lawmakers, I can't remember if he was a state senator, I believe he was a state senator, but he was an undertaker when he wasn't in the legislature. He'd been a state senator for years. And when I called him up to talk to him, he said at the end of the interview, "Now I got to go back and bury the dead." And I thought, man, if more politicians had to perform jobs like that, that would keep them grounded. All right, that was a bit of a tangent. We're also going to talk about Gavin Newsom's diaper gate, which is not going away for him, even though it's just one of many, many examples that one could give of blatant corruption within our state government. So yes, lots to talk about. All right, let's begin with Anthony Fauci's diaries, because I know it's not California focused, but we all lived through COVID, and it was particularly bad in California because our governor really aligned with himself with everything Anthony Fauci said, closing churches, closing schools, arresting people for trying to surf on the beach when really the outdoors is the best place you can be if there's some kind of virus infecting everyone inside. So anyway, I was just fascinated because I had actually never really, I didn't even know Fauci was a big deal. I sat next to him. This was prior to COVID. I sat next to him at an event at the National Press Club where I was a member. They like to invite journalists to sit next to panelists and lead with questions. And I had no idea who he was. I was a health reporter and I was focused on Congress. I didn't know who he was. It was very embarrassing. I seemed to be the only person at the panel who didn't think he was a big deal. And he was very, I talked to him during the beforehand and during the lunch and didn't seem all that incredible, I guess. And the panel discussion was about flu vaccines. And the other reporter sitting next to me just absolutely loved him and kept saying, oh, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci. Anyway, but then COVID hit and suddenly everyone was just piling on their admiration for Anthony Fauci and it got very obnoxious. Well, it turns out that if you found him obnoxious publicly facing, you were right. You should see what he was like in his diaries. All right. So Senator Paul released this trove of emails, about 1,500 pages. I didn't read all of those pages, but I got the gist. And this is in advance of a grilling that he's been promising for about a month now. He subpoenaed Fauci for part of his long, he's been at this doggedly, has Senator Paul, years-long investigation into whether he manipulated the intelligence community to lie about the origin of COVID-19. And so in advance of this, here comes these diaries. Well, it's just really incredible. It's really incredible. Some of the entries, most of the entries lead with the death count from COVID, which as we all know, were embellished, but they're in the millions. He'll write the death toll and then he'll say, oh, Jake Tapper interviewed me. Oh, well, I'm just going to give you his own words. I'm not going to even interpret. All right. So let's just start at the very beginning. This kind of paints the picture of who he was. So in an entry from December 30th, 2019, just before New Year's Eve, this was when we started hearing about this mysterious virus in China. And so he starts mentioning it in his diary. But at first he mentions, over the years, I have helped Dionne Warwick find physicians for herself and her colleagues. I have done this sometimes as an intermediary through an intermediary, Guy Draper, who is well known soul songwriter and agent for many groups. Guy called me up today and asked for a referral for a peripheral vascular physician at Hopkins for one of Dionne's friends. I recommended him to blah, blah, blah. And then they wanted me to come to a ceremony at Bowie State University where they were dedicating a building to Dionne. They wanted me as their guest. Also, John LaPook was interviewed on CBS Morning News and mentioned me several times, since he emailed me over the weekend to prep him for his interview on universal flu vaccine and HIV vaccines. All right, we're into January 2020. went to a function at the National Cathedral where David Rubenstein was interviewed in the nave, similar to my interview a few years ago, by the dean of the cathedral in association with David's book, The American Story. David was his usual hilarious self. Did taped interview for Islam radio breakfast show about anti-vax movement. Very good interview. Also did another interview with Eileen Riley of Axios. WTOP radio on Seattle Case. The Morning Goods. He just loves to just talk about all the interviews he's done. The Morning Goods, local radio talk show. TRT, World Turkish TV, Reuters TV, Fox Business, Bloomberg Print, Fox Business with David Asman, Italian TV, tape CNN and the VRC talking about the vaccine, Hong Kong, Phoenix TV, Univision TV, Spanish American TV, Bloomberg TV, Asia, 24 News, Israeli TV over the phone. All right. So then we start getting into deeper into COVID. So this really, and he starts talking about how he starts clashing with the GOP. And it's also very interesting how he starts talking about the obvious to everyone clash with Trump. So anyway, here's this. Yes, okay. So this is when he starts clashing with Senator Paul. Mark Meadows is a former congressman from North Carolina who became chief of staff for Trump, and he was chief of staff during COVID and ended up really clashing with Fauci. But this was kind of in the beginning of that. Mark Meadows called me this AM before the HELP hearing, that's the Senate Health Committee hearing, checking on how I was and thanking me for taking flack from both sides. He is a good guy, but I think the call was prompted somewhat by a New York Times story this AM, Cheryl Gay Stolberg, that reported my saying to Cheryl when she asked what I hoped to accomplish at the hearing. I said to let people know that they must be careful in opening the country and not go too fast or prematurely since we risk the problem of rebound. Hearing went well by virtual. I was in my home office. Had a little scuffle with Rand Paul, who said that I am not the end-all be-all to close down the country. I went back at him and tweets said I came out way on top. He was watching Twitter to see what the Twitter sphere said. Received two packages of cookies from Joe and Jill Biden with a note. You are our hero. Stay strong and healthy. We need you. Vox did a mini history of me. Here's the link. All right, then May 13th, 2020, he leads with the global death count, allegedly from COVID, which was $4.1,285,000 in the USA. Press today and yesterday afternoon reporting heavily on the Senate hearing from yesterday, playing up that I am the voice of reason. However, I'm obviously causing concern among GOP who want to open quickly. Fox News blasting me, Hannity, Carlson, Ingram. See Politico piece about GOP getting Fauci fatigue. Then later on, oh, he loves celebrities. So he said, he writes, had a wonderful Instagram discussion organized by the One campaign with Julia Roberts. She was absolutely fabulous. She embarrassed me somewhat when I sat down in the chair and appeared on the screen through Zoom. She put her hands in front of her mouth and said, oh, it's Dr. Fauci. He is here. Then she went on to say, I know I'm not giving a very good Dr. Fauci impression. I'm sorry. I just don't have that great, was it Massachusetts, New England accent that he has. She went on to say that I was her personal hero and how happy she was to have this conversation with me. We discussed COVID-19 and its potential impact on the developing world. I told her we have a moral responsibility to help, and also we have enlightened self-interest, and that if the outbreak continues in the developing world, it will always be a threat to the rest of the world. Also, we discussed the importance of including the developing world in the vaccine trials and accessibility of vaccine. She was totally down to earth. Great experience. And then this is interesting. He starts talking about his relationship with then former Vice President Mike Pence, how he likes Mike Pence. Mike Pence is talking to him and all these things. The VP said during this call that I was the most visible and trusted asset in the country. And tonight, CNN really played up the quote unquote feud between the POTUS and me. Speaking of Trump, they fed him that I said we should not open schools when in fact I said we would not have the vaccine in time to vaccinate the students, mostly college, for the August fall semester. This was in response to a question from Lamar Alexander. In an interview, the press kept asking POTUS about my caution in opening the country and my concern about opening the economy. He obviously got annoyed and explicitly criticized me. First time he has done this. That is when CNN went wild, and on Aaron Burnett, Anderson Cooper, and Don Lemon, they had people saying how I was correct and POTUS was wrong and that they should believe me. I called up Chris Cuomo before his show and told him the truth. He gave a more measured account on his show. Now I know why the VP spent so much time with me on the phone talking about his conversation with the college presidents and opening the colleges. VP is a good guy. I think he was trying to protect and shield me. Lots of talk about how he was going back and forth with Trump. He talks about how POTUS walked in from the inner office and immediately caught my eye and opened up his arms. He gently pulled me into the outer office where the TV was on giving the economic forecast and said, Tony, you are losing me trillions of effing dollars. Then he said something interesting. He said, Tony, you and I are okay. There is no problem between us. We are similar in some respects. You are playing me and I am playing you. I know you better than you think, and I respect you and like you. You need to do your thing, and I need to do mine, as long as you understand that I need to keep this country alive. Then, as we were ready to go out, he looked at all of us and said, do we really need to have those masks on? It sends the wrong signal. I told him that we should keep them on, since it would be an unforced error to take them off. The press would kill us. They would have. His response was, who gives a about the press? They will try to kill us no matter what we do. Francis and Deb looked at me, and I said, Mr. President, I will not remove the mask. I must wear it. He had a look of exasperation on his face and said, okay, if you insist. Francis and Deb sighed a sigh of relief as it was clear that Deb was willing to remove the mask. Francis was with me. He's speaking of Francis Collins, who was the head of NIH, and Deb Burke, who was one of the head people on the White House task force who was seen as capitulating to Trump at the time by the press. However, he turned to the generals and Azar and Esper and said, you guys take your masks off. You hear me? They dutifully did. And we all walked to the Rose Garden. All right. Then he notes that Deb Burks was getting slammed by many in the press as caving to POTUS and not sticking to her principles. All right. It goes on. And then he just gets more and more obsessed also with all the publicity he's getting. He includes this copy of some painting that was done by an artist. And he writes in his diary, the Fauci phrase continues. Some select examples. Brooklyn artist Jeremy Penn's Dr. Anthony Fauci portrait nets $15,000 for charity. And he includes that picture. Brooklyn artist Jeremy Penn, who's painted Diane von Furstenberg, Kate Moss, John Galliano, and Karl Lagerfeld, sold a portrait of Anthony Fauci for $15,000. He also includes the New Yorker, or one of the New Yorker covers, I'm sure there is more than one, of himself. And he talks about how he went to this Kennedy Center Awards ceremony featuring George Clooney and Amy Grant, Gladys Knight, and U2, the Irish rock group. And he says, I was the guest. This was note for me. This was under the Biden administration, obviously. Under Trump, they probably would not, all these celebrities probably would not have come to do a big ceremony. So he was the guest of then HHS Secretary Javier Becerra, currently our front runner for the governor. I was a guest of Secretary Becerra at a White House reception with the president that occurred at 3:30 p.m. before we all motorcaded to this Kennedy Center for the ceremonies of the awards. It was a star-studded evening, and I had pleasant conversations with people, some of whom I had met before, such as Julia Roberts, Sean Penn, Matt Damon, among many others. It was a spectacular event, mixing entertainment with honoring the honorees. The situation was somewhat unusual as I was completely swamped with people yelling my name and applauding it as I left the vehicle in front of the Kennedy Center and walked that long red carpet walk to the theater. There must have been hundreds of people lined up behind a rope area, and I was amazed how this recognition of me has reached such a height. I am certainly not getting a big head about it, but it is rather weird and a little bit unnerving. Joked with Hunter Biden as we shook hands and hugged. He said if someone snapped a photo and put it online, the internet would explode, given we are both being attacked by the far-right GOP. And it's funny that he keeps including all these mentions of the Fauci craze, how much everyone's applauding him and loving him, because he also likes to include all these digs at Trump, saying Trump loves adoration, which he does, He's got an ego. Donald Trump does have an ego. I will grant you that. But it's this guy, man. And the fact that everyone acts as if he's humble and doesn't have an ego. So anyway, if you do want to watch this hearing, it is slated for Wednesday. It's going to start at 11:30 a.m. our time, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And it's pretty easy to stream these things. You just go to the Senate website, www.senate.gov. You go to a little tab that says committees, go down to hearings, and there should be a link to take you right there. It's probably on YouTube as well. So I do recommend it. All right. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back after these messages, and Greg Burt from California Family Council will be calling in to discuss the legislature. Stay with us. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Admitted murderer Brian Colbert are planning to file for post-conviction relief after pleading guilty to killing four University of Idaho students. Fox's Max Gordon.
Colbert did provide a statement to the New York Times saying, over a year later, it is self-evident that in State versus Colbert, justice was not served.
Colbert argues he had bad counsel. He's serving four consecutive life sentences. Today's show host, Savannah Guthrie, asking, has a new plea? She asked for information about her missing mother, Nancy, addressing those responsible for her disappearance directly on her Facebook page.
I'm asking you, begging you, to do the right thing now.
84-year-old Nancy Guthrie disappeared from her Tucson, Arizona home back in January. A tornado touching down in Wisconsin, ripping through an area 90 miles northwest of Milwaukee. America is listening to Fox News.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. We are still waiting for our guest to call in. Just message him, so he should join us shortly. But by way of background, before we dive in, we've discussed some. I admit that I've not been as on top of the California legislature as I have been in the past. There is just so much to cover all around with election stuff, primary elections prior to this. And it's really tough to just keep track of all the many, many bills. So anyway, Greg Burt's going to help us unpack. We had a guest on a few weeks ago, basically saying that the legislature is committed to its woke priorities. And there's not much shift in that. But it's very important to not only keep track, but also to be prepared to call our legislators and let them know what you think. All right. So joining us from Sacramento to unpack all of these things is Greg Burt from the California Family Council. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love having you on. All right. We've got lots of bills that you have been testifying about and drumming up opposition to. And I just love a quick take from you. Big picture, what are you seeing in Sacramento this legislative session? How bad are things for concerned parents and other people who just want the craziness to stop?
Well, the craziness is not stopping. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but yeah, the legislature is full of crazy bills affecting parental rights, pushing gender ideology, protecting abortion, expanding who can do them. The list is just, it's more of the same we've seen every year. It's not slowing down. They're not changing, even though you might feel a mood kind of changing. Some folks have been pushing back on stuff that seems to be like parental rights. We've got some great Supreme Court cases that have, you know, stopped California in its tracks. And so that's good news. Also, it's girl sports. We got the Supreme Court making a decision, at least affecting other states, that, you know, you have to, that it is a Title IX can be interpreted, and it's fine that you interpret that sex means male or female biology. And so West Virginia and Idaho can now go ahead and limit teams to biological sex. So that spells a doom for California's restrictions. We'll get there, but there's a bunch of bills. If you have a numbers, I can try and explain those bit by bit.
Yes, yes. Let's go through some. And for those of you who are listening at home and not in your car, maybe grab a pen and pencil, write these down, and call our representatives about them. I think I mentioned I called John Laird and Don Ellis about most of these. It really just takes a couple minutes. So we're going to go over, because we don't have a whole lot of time, we're going to go over California Family Council's high priority opposition bills first, and maybe we can get to some of the good bills that you support. But let's start with those. So Assembly Bill 1540 is the first one I am looking at. This puts $5 million of our taxpayer money to make sure that the National Suicide Hotline in California routes to some pretty dicey organizations. Talk about what this would do.
Right. You know, we already have a hotline on the back of every student ID. It's a national hotline. It's the 988 Suicide Hotline. Folks call, they can be routed to some help. Well, the LGBT caucus wants kids, when they call and they identify as LGBT, they want the counselors to promote all things affirming LGBT, right? And so kids who think they're a different sex, they want to make sure that they're affirmed in that. And so one of the biggest organizations that has this hotline specifically for LGBT is the Trevor Project. Trevor Project, I've been reporting on them for years. They really are a dangerous organization. They push kids to get mentors on this big platform with people from around the world, where it puts teenagers in as young as 13 in with 24-year-olds, although they don't age verify. And you can go on these sites, talk about any sexuality you have with adults, you know, and join a club. You know, some of the club names are like Chosen Family, where you can pick new parents. You know, you can join a club about if you're particularly attracted to various people, a polyamory club. I mean, there's an endless number.
It's gross.
And what happens, the federal government shut off the funds. They actually had the contract federally, and so the Trump administration shut that off. And so now they're coming back to California and backfilling it with $5 million.
So gross. Is Trevor Project based in California? I can't remember.
I don't know. We're talking, this is a behemoth, $100 million pulls in every year. All the biggest corporations support it. It's probably why I can't get any newspaper reporter to talk about it.
Oh, you can't?
Nope, not yet. We got two sheriffs. I got a sheriff's department and a former trafficking organization that went on the website and pretended to be a young teenager, and they had people approaching them to, you know, take them offline and talk about sexual things right away. So it's a predator's paradise, what it is, and I can't get anybody to talk about it.
That's insane. This comment will apply to a lot of the bills that we're going to discuss, but it's just so crazy. I have to stop and think about it, because you'd think it would be done, but this whole trans movement has been so crazy, just insane, mutilating the organs of minors that are healthy. And it's not only gone unpunished, but here we have the legislature actively pushing kids towards this. And it's so
right.
clear.
I mean, bills, we can jump right into that.
Yep.
Is AB 1876?
Yes.
This is a bill that mandates your insurance cannot deny what they call gender-affirming care. Now, gender-affirming care means all the drugs and surgeries to make you look like the opposite sex, right? So puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, double mastectomies for little kids, young teenagers. And so your insurance will have to pay for it. And and because California defines sex as gender identity, they consider it sexual. You're discriminating somebody based on sex when you won't give someone a double mastectomy because they think they're trapped in the wrong body.
Mm.
Right. So they're serious. Like, there are no males and females anymore, meaning there's no biological male. There's no biological female. Those words technically mean are just labels that anyone can slap on themselves.
Yep.
And no one can discriminate against your chosen gender identity, right?
Yep. You can see it on, if you get a doctor's bill, it's always at the top now, assigned gender. And it's like, this is a doctor's office dealing right. with matters of the body that are very specific to sex. And
that's the legislature that requires that.
Yep, exactly. It's just insane. It's going to take so long. If rationality ever prevails in this state, it's going to take so long to unwind all this insanity. All right, let's move on to an abortion bill. It's Assembly Bill AB 1973. This basically allows many more midwives. It's just insane. Physician assistants to perform abortions beyond the first trimester. All right, talk about this bill.
Right. So it seems there aren't enough especially in rural communities, people willing to do second and third trimester abortions. So second, third trimester. So we are talking right up to when the child is viable.
That's really brutal.
And there are not enough doctors willing or available in a lot of communities. And so they want to enable nurse practitioners, physician assistants, certified midwives to perform these second and third trimester abortions, which are very dangerous. Right? You need a whole lot of training, and you need a huge medical staff for any particular complications that may occur. But they are throwing caution to the wind and saying, we can train, a midwife how to do these things. And so anytime you ever hear, well, third trimester abortions don't happen in California, well, then why do we need this?
The other thing that strikes me about this bill,
majority of people are horrified. Even if they, abortion the first trimester, they're horrified that we would kill viable children in the womb. There's no reason. You just do a C-section.
Yes.
There's no reason to kill the child.
Yes.
Well, there's never a reason to kill the child, but the child can survive.
Hmm. And, one of the shocking things about this, too, well, not shocking, nothing shocks me anymore, but when I supported abortion, which I hate that I deeply regret, I've talked about that, but when I did, my main argument was one stolen from the abortion advocacy, which was, if it's illegal, it will lead to all these unsafe abortions because women are going to get them in any case. So you should make sure that they do it safely and they don't die. And this is throwing that argument completely to the wind. Oh, anyone can do it. A physician assistant can do it.
Right.
So anyway, that struck me. All right. Let's move on to Assembly Bill 2164. This is again one that protects abortionists and whatever the people calling themselves doctors who try to mutilate people's bodies.
Right. No, so now you have other states now that have now that Roe versus Wade was knocked down, which simply meant that now abortion was a state issue,
mm-hmm.
right? But what is happening is now with the proliferation of abortion drugs, that the majority of abortions are now happening using these drugs and that they're not surgical anymore. So. And a lot of states, like California, are doing telemedicine. And I remember when they first started using the abortion drugs, right? They wanted to use them in college campuses, right? But the big thing was that college campuses didn't have ultrasounds on the campus. And there was a requirement that you had to have an ultrasound to make sure that the baby wasn't over 10 weeks old. Because the drug is only supposed to be used on babies up to 10 weeks. But over COVID, that was thrown out the window. It used to require a doctor's appointment after you took the pills. That's thrown out the window. And so without any of that required, telemedicine has taken over, and you can have the drugs, like, sent to your house. And so what's happening is California abortion doctors are sending drugs into all these states that have outlawed abortion, it has been almost impossible to prohibit abortions in your own state if that's what you want to do. And so this law makes sure that those states can't try and enforce laws on doctors who are here in California, right, or who have come here to escape to California. Like, they're on the run from whatever state's outlawed it. And you come to California, California will protect you, make sure it won't listen to any outside subpoenas for information. There are several bills in this category that are just turning California into a safe haven for abortionists. And so there have been half a dozen of these passed. The more because there's a lawsuit in Texas. A young man. There are various lawsuits involving abortions that have happened in Texas, and in California, as the doctors are responsible, and so California wants to protect those doctors.
All right, we are getting the music that we are heading into another ad break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're speaking with Greg Burt from the California Family Council, and you're listening to Free Talk California. We'll be back shortly so we can keep talking about bad bills. All right. See you in a bit.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks kicking off the new trading week mixed. The Dow rose but paired from bigger earlier gains after the Trump administration paused plans to escalate its war in Iran. Crude oil prices retreated, easing inflation concerns. Semiconductor companies, memory chip makers, and many artificial intelligence names selling off today and dragging the tech-heavy NASDAQ lower following Chinese memory chip maker CMXT's massive trading debut in Shanghai. Apple stock rose over 1% and notching a fresh record close. The tech giant claiming the title of the world's most valuable public company from NVIDIA. The Dow winners, Salesforce, Microsoft, and Sherwin-Williams. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and NVIDIA. The Dow up 263 points. The NASDAQ lower by 44. S&P 500 up a point. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200. Bahama Bay Tanning Company has you covered to be summer ready. Not only do they provide a tanning experience with packages to fit your needs and budget, they also offer tanning beds, spray tans, infrared pod, teeth whitening, clothing, swimwear, jewelry, and more. Locally owned and operated, Bahama Bay Tanning Company. Call 239-9800 or visit them at 1485 Creston Road in the Food for Less Shopping Center.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and we are speaking with Greg Burt from the California Family Council in Sacramento on bad bills in the legislature that are about to become our laws. So Greg texted me over the break and said, don't forget the hate training bill, which I had skipped because we have talked about it on the show, but it is an insane bill that we have to discuss in case there are any listeners today who missed it last time. So this is a training requirement as part of the sexual harassment training that everyone has to take in big companies. So it's called Assembly Bill 1803. Tell us about this one, Greg.
Right. Well, this bill is AB 1803, but there's a companion bill, AB 1578, that's only for legislators. But what the bill does, it requires everybody to go through sexual harassment training, which is already required, but it adds a new hour of training for everyone called anti-hate speech training. And what is anti-hate speech, right? I'm not sure if you know this, but California has an entire committee dedicated to eradicating hate. And they look at surveys and people complaining about hate. But you know, the one thing that's always absent is, like, what is hate? Like, I think a lot of us might agree on what hate is, but what it's morphing into is what we found is anybody who has a religious belief on gender or sexuality that contradicts the LGBT caucus and the ideology, you know, you're not simply disagreeing on, you know, a philosophy of life. No, you are hating those who might identify as LGBT. And so we asked for a definition because they didn't have one. And so they morphed it into saying something, and I'm going to read it. It says, the trainees target speech that, and I quote, speech that vilifies, humiliates, or incites hatred against any protected classes. Okay, humiliates. So you can't say anything that a protected class would consider humiliating, so what does that mean, right? So what we suspect is it's just somebody, like, you've seen some folks who are transgender react to not being referred to by the sex they want or the gender that they want to be referred to as. If you don't use their preferred pronoun, if you say ma'am when they want to be sir, those are all going to be in this training, right? So, and I'm not sure if you all realize this, but offensive speech is protected by the First Amendment.
And yes. What's my next question?
That's the reason for the First Amendment. Nobody objects to speech they like. They usually object to speech they don't like, right? And so the government is now going to retrain the entire population of California to view their version of what hatred is, and they're going to pose that on everybody. It's really outrageous. And the bill applies to everyone. It was who works for an employer with more than six employees, and the separate bill, 1578, applies to all elected officials. So every elected official is going to have to go through retraining. This is similar.
So if you're a school board member, it's a great way to pit conservative school board members against others. And I'm just thinking their colleagues can say, oh, you're hateful.
It's to pressure people to stop complaining about boys in girls' locker rooms or showers or sports teams. And it's stop complaining, stop saying marriage is between a man and a woman. You cannot voice that around me because I feel like I'm in danger. I mean, we at the legislature, man, we had Sophia Lori, who works for us. She was saying in committee hearings that men do not menstruate, so we don't put tampons in their bathrooms. And we had legislators who felt, she said, I feel threatened and I fear for the safety of transgender people.
Wow.
Because she said those words.
Wow. What happened after that?
Well, nothing. She made her comment, you know, outrageous comment, and of course we got to sit there and listen to it, and we can't respond.
Right.
But we had another hearing where we were promoting girls' sports, just girls-only sports, and Rick Zabur, former Equality California president and a current member of the assembly from the Beverly Hills, when he heard the testimony of Sophia and another legislator about the girls' sports bill, he said he felt like he was in Nazi Germany.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Like now, that comment was to incite hatred towards those who are for girls-only sports. I mean, that's what you do. If you want to incite hatred towards somebody, you refer to them as the worst mass murderer in the world. Right?
Right.
So they do this to us all the time,
yep.
And now they're turning around and saying they're going to retrain us to think like they do. It's outrageous. It really is.
It is.
It should be front page but I think we get so lulled into just, oh, well, it's California, you know.
Yep.
We're going to sit there and just take it.
So why are we taking it? What can we do?
Why are we taking it? I don't know. It's like a, I don't know. Here's the rhetoric.
Because even our GOP leaders in the legislature take it.
Well, they'll vote against it. I mean, but they don't want to be labeled a hater.
No.
Oh, you're for a bill. This bill is trying to do good, eliminate hate in the world, and here you are saying no, we don't want to eliminate hate because we like hate.
Right.
That's and you go, well, no, I don't like hate. Oh no. They just simply label anyone who disagrees with them on fundamental issues about LGBT things. They're all hateful. And so that's the way they've shut people up. The whole population just say, oh, I don't want to be on the side of the haters.
Right.
And so we all just comply. Or just don't raise a voice. Don't speak up. Because you'll be labeled.
Yeah.
Just imagine what happens when everybody gets the training of what hate is, right? And they're going to have to. The supervisors are going to have to punish people who do the hate,
mm-hmm.
Right? Once you train them what hate is, like treat so and so as a woman. I know he's not, but just say he is. And if you don't, you know, your employer is responsible to punish you.
Yeah.
And I'm currently.
Now this is terrifying. It's the end of your freedom at work, yeah. and it's the end of our local governments having any semblance of balance.
Right. And I'm actually working on a story right now because the current sexual harassment training that everybody has to go through, they changed it to include sexual harassment also includes gender identity.
Oh.
And so I'm going through the training right now that's on the state website, and it's saying if you don't use somebody's preferred pronoun, if you misgender someone, you can personally be sued, and if the supervisor doesn't punish you, they can be sued. That's my next story. It's coming out, and so it's already there, and this is going to pile on top of it.
So is there any group lined up to sue as soon as this becomes law on First Amendment grounds?
Yeah, well, currently there's a lawsuit because California is a UC system has a sexual harassment training they're forcing on all the kids, all the students. You have to get 100% on their sexual harassment training test, which includes gender identity, which includes you must use preferred pronouns, you have to promise never to make a statement that you're uncomfortable with, you know, a guy in a girl's bathroom. And you have to get 100% on that test in order to register for classes.
Wow.
Defending Education just filed a lawsuit 2 weeks ago because that is compelled speech.
Yes.
And so there, that's one lawsuit that's ongoing. But this is going to get a lawsuit as well. Because you can't compel. And they're trying to say, well, we're not compelling you. We're just training you.
Oh,
and then
right.
What they're doing is they're requiring the punishment's not coming from the state. They're just telling employers they have to do the punishment, and if they don't, they could be sued.
Oh. Well, on that happy note, that's all the time we have. If you want to follow Greg's writing, which I really recommend to stay up to date on how you can help fight things in Sacramento, go to California Family Council. Sign up for their newsletter. Recommend it. Thank you so much, Greg. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.